This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You just heard from Coach Raheem Morris talking about a growth mindset. Keep that phrase in your mind. Keep it front and center because you're going to hear it all season long. And it's nothing. There's nothing corny about it. There is a growth mindset. If you're not growing and getting better, you're getting worse. And so for the last 3 weeks, we've gotten better in some areas. But there are areas we need to improve on. He addressed that. For those of you who missed it, we'll replay it for you a little bit later on in the show. And we thank you for stopping by. Mike, he said at the end of that interview, we got to stop the run against Seattle. I asked him about the Metcalf situation.
Right.
You know, you and Turtle were saying he's not been great this year. Okay, but I don't need him to have a coming out party either.
No, they've lost three in a row, as you mentioned, and they got a 10 days off, as Coach mentioned, coming off their loss to the 49ers. So, I don't want to see these guys, you're right, get right at our expense. They do run the ball well, but that's the thing. I mean, I'm too close to it because I own Metcalf. He's killed me last week. 2 weeks ago. I digress. This team has weapons. They just haven't put it together these last three games, you know. So, Geno, I think you can rattle him. I think you can get to him. You can force him to make mistakes, to your point earlier. But I just think we run this might be, I'm not saying rinse repeat, but a lot of things we did against Carolina, I think we can do against this defense running the football.
Just from an injury update standpoint, and we're going to get to some dog conversation. A great poll question is up at Dukes and Bell 929 asking you about how confident you are heading into the game right now with Texas. But the Saints have been a mess. No Carr, right?
Right.
We then hear Dennis Allen today say that Rashid Shaheed underwent surgery on his meniscus. He's going to be out. He also said Chris Olave is out for Thursday night's game against Denver. That's going to be the Thursday night game coming up.
Concussion.
They got a lot going on. And all I'm telling you is,
and a good Denver defense coming to town.
Keep winning. Keep right. Distancing yourself. We're going to have like opponents, guys. We know that, right? They played the Eagles. We played the Eagles. Right now, we're in a great position in this division. But as we look at the Saints, Mike, they're trying to overcome a lot right now just to stay competitive and maybe find a way to win. Maybe they do. But at the end of the day, like, again, when this is us, and it has been, nobody's feeling sorry for us. So Saints dealing with a bunch of stuff. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about Coach stopping by and talking about, you know, where our team is. And he kind of explained the Drake London thing. Again, if you heard those comments earlier today where he was talking about using Drake in the best position, he was also giving you some insight to say, hey, we want him to do more, but hell, he's out there a lot, and he's already doing a lot for us, whether it's blocking, right, catching inside, outside, slot, wide. You got to keep it in perspective, but I get the gist of what he was saying about trying to use him like a Cooper Kupp.
Right. So he's basically been doing that stuff, but just put it, I guess, a finer point on it, or just more of it. And, you know, I'm very happy with Zach Robinson, as we said. And, you know, I said evolution, but he says, you know, just, you know, basically, you know, focusing on improving the areas which, you know, you need to work on. The pass rush, he's like, they're acutely aware of the pass rush. One thing, Carl and I were just talking off the air. It doesn't matter now, and we really enjoyed talking to him back in August, but Braylon Trice, I think, would have been a rock star on this defense. And I know that we'll have to wait to see what he is next year, but as Coach told us in our conversation, that he came out of the Washington defense ready to play in the NFL.
Ready.
And was a bit of a steal, too, where he was drafted.
As far as whether we'll make moves, he said Terry Fontenot is consistently looking to improve. He's devouring rosters, and along with Ryan Pace and company, they're always looking to try to improve. So Coach Rob basically saying, look, I'm not going to be upstairs asking him to go get certain players, but if they bring something, we'll definitely talk about it. But I don't expect anything less from this front office.
No, man, we're live inside the Ticketmaster studios, and look who just rolled in. We haven't talked to this dude in a while.
It's been a minute.
The elder statesman, the OG of the Falcons offensive line. And, hey, man, good to see you, Jake Matthews. How you been?
Doing well. How are y'all doing?
Good. Well, good, man. You know, we ran the ball down Carolina's throat last week. How enjoyable, seriously, at this point in your career is it, right? You go back to your rookie year, you're trying to figure it out, maybe three, you figured it out, and now you have a feel for the game. But at this point in your career, isn't that a little bit fun?
It is fun, man. Anytime you can run the ball like that and finish out a game like that, that's hard to do in the NFL. And I think it just goes to show us as an offense, too. You look at the week before that, we throw the ball for 500 yards, and then we run for 200 before we had to take the knees at the end of the game. But the more you can mix it up like that and prove that you can win in different ways, you're going to be in good shape. So we're definitely on the right track, you know.
And as a guy who's been here through the highs and the lows, how much fun is this season right now as we're, things are rolling?
It's been winning, man. Winning's a special thing.
yeah.
It's been going well, but, man, just love the way Raheem is and what he's brought in the building and the character this team has and really the guys who make it up. It's a bunch of dudes that want to go out there and play well for each other and do things the right way. And, you know, I think we keep stacking and building off that. We're going to really like how this year goes.
You've been a part of a lot of great passing performances, right? Matt was here, obviously. But like in that game last or 2 weeks ago where we're throwing the ball around, at any point in the huddle, you're like, we're throwing it again? You know what I mean? Like Kirk comes in and calls a play. You're like, we're throwing it again?
You don't say that out loud. But no, man, you just – as an offensive lineman, you do what you're told. You try to do your job, let those guys make plays. And if we win, it all works out. So any way we can win.
You know, and you said it's all about winning. Jake Matthews is with us. When things aren't going your way, it seems like we would be the Saints, or we would be Tampa Bay at the end of the game. Now we flip the script. How much of that is about what Kirk Cousins has brought to the table? We haven't talked to you since August. And Kirk's personality and the vibe he sets for this team.
Yeah, I think he has a huge part to play in that. Man, when we go out there for a two-minute drive or something like that, you can tell he's poised, he's ready to go, and we're going to move the ball. And that's really hard to do in this league against really good defenses. And he just keeps proving, you know, if we give him time, he's going to find those guys, and we're gonna win games. And you know, done it. Now we got to continue doing it. Means nothing if we don't keep doing it.
Jake, how have we been able to overcome these injuries, man? I mean, we had a game where we lost two starters, right? And we were running the ball that night pretty well, and then all of a sudden, you know, we had to come off of it. But how have we been able to maneuver that and talk about the guys that have stepped in when the starters have not been available?
Yeah, I guess I'll start with Storm Norton, who's our swing tackle. Yeah. He comes in when Caleb goes out, and he's a guy the last few years who's really proved that he can come in and fill that role and do a really good job. So that's really to be expected from him. But then you look at Ryan Neuzel, who got to play a little last year too. But this year, man, he's come in these last three games. I guess it's four when you include part of the Kansas City game, and done a really good job at center. Obviously hard to replace a guy like Drew Dahlman, who really been, you know, the spear, I guess, when it comes, the tip of the spear when it comes to, you know, our offensive line play and the way we want to communicate and ID stuff. But Neuzel, man, he's done a good job filling that role. And I think that's a testimony to his preparation and the way that he's, you know, he's sitting in those meetings understanding that, hey, there's a chance I'm going to go in. And it happened. And he's taking advantage of the opportunity. And he's playing really good football.
And the other thing is, as we're talking with Jake Matthews, guys live here at Flower Branch, I can't remember, maybe Lindstrom was to be the other guy, where Bergeron comes in and just plugs in, and from the time there was an injury, it just seems like he fits, and he's your wingman, of course, over there on the left side, but it just seems like you guys have a really good thing going over there.
Yeah, definitely. I've been a big fan of his since, like you said, they plugged him in. A guy fits in the room really well, he gets it, works hard, does things the right way, and pretty funny dude.
A little
swag,
right?
So,
a little
swagger? Yeah, a little bit of that, too. And he, I joke, he's only one of the few rookies that makes me laugh all the time. So he's not a rookie anymore. We gave him a lot of crap for that, but second-year guy now. But he's been awesome to play with, and I only see him improving and getting better.
Dude, you've been doing this a while now, right? It's crazy. Like, we saw you drafted. With the boots on.
Came in boots, in here as a rookie. Yep.
And, you know, you come from, and you know, people know this, your family, you come from a bloodline where guys just play a long time,
yeah.
Right? I mean, honestly, how much longer, man? Like, seriously, have you thought about that? You're having so much fun? I'm just curious.
I am having a good time. That's a good question. I mean, I try not to think about it. I guess till the wheels fall off. I don't know. Well, I'm enjoying it.
And, yeah.
And, yeah, I think, it's a testimony to – our family and I guess genetics and the good Lord has given us bodies that can do right. This for a long time. And,
right.
You know, I love doing it. Want to keep it going.
We had so much fun. We were up in Charlotte with a bunch of listeners. We took over a Hooters the week that you had your first child. And we're like, Arthur better send Falcon 1. We got to get Jake up here. any difference the second time around being a daddy?
The second one was a lot more smooth. It was,
right.
no issues, and I preferred the second one.
Right on.
Yeah, well, you had to get to a game, try to get focused that night. I mean, it was
rough.
And we've told you this. I mean, for Falcon fans who are not familiar, literally we're there talking about the game, and it became, is Jake going to make it tonight?
Yes.
Everybody was freaking out, and then we saw you on the field, and everybody's like, yeah, Jake's out there. We're good to go. So it was a fun time. Man, tell us what you're seeing in this Seattle defense, man. I mean, listen, T.J. Watt, Eagles defense, Chris Jones, right? All these cats we've seen. What do you see with Seattle, and what's going to be our challenge offensively going up against them this weekend?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. We've played some really good defenses this year, and that's the NFL. I mean, every week you're playing. And Carolina had a really good defense. So just like this week, it's going to be a challenge again. I think one of the things that's impressive about them, I think they lead the league or up there around there in three and outs, just stopping drives immediately for offenses. And that's going to be a big test for us. We want to stay on the field and impose our will and wear defenses down as the game goes on so we can continue running the ball and mixing it up and all that stuff. They've got a lot of playmakers and guys on that side of the ball that we got to, you know, be on top of.
Well, man, it's, again, so much fun for us as fans. As you said, it's fun for you. I mean, winning changes everything. It really does, man. So stay healthy, and hopefully we'll have a dub, and we'll keep on trucking.
Let me ask you one other thing, Jake, while we have you here. Jake Matthews, Bijan has a different style of running than Tyler Allgeier, but they're both very productive. Did you block differently when you I mean, the play is called, obviously, but are you doing anything differently from what you do down in and down out when you know it's going to Allgeier or it's going to Bijan?
You try not to. Really, it's a trust thing with the way the play is designed, where the ball wants to go, what hole we're trying to hit. You're trusting that guy is gonna be there and do it that way. But like you said, they both have a little different flair in the way they do it, and they're both extremely productive. So they make us look good a lot. So we're just trying to give them some space, you know. But no, I wouldn't. You're really not looking who's back there and changing your mindset of, hey, this play's trying to, you know, get outside. This one are trying to hit up the gut, stuff like that. Their job is to hit it where we're trying to go, and then after that, make their plays, and they both got a special way of doing it.
So it's more like a whoosh when Bijan comes by. It's more like a rolling train when Tyler goes by.
Maybe a little louder when Tyler comes by.
Right, and on. By the way, weak sauce penalty that wasn't called right on you last week. I mean, at the goal where Bijan scores, was that penalty called on you? Do you remember?
I think it was called on the DB for cutting me, because they took that roll out.
Correct.
We can't cut them, and they can't cut us when you're out, you know.
Because he came,
like
you were going to block him, but then he came
cut
in
me.
Down.
Yeah, I might have complained a few times.
Yeah, that looked jive on TV, man.
In previous games of that not getting called, so I was glad they called it.
Well, we were too, man. Continue to do great work, man. We appreciate you. He's always been one of the best guys we talk to, man, and the leader of our offensive line, and certainly a leader on this team. Jake Matthews, thank you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. All right. Guys, we got plenty more to dive into. We're live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll take a quick timeout and come right back. Thanks to Jake Matthews for stopping by. It's Dukes and Bell live at the Ticketmaster Studios up at Flowery Branch. Our team getting ready to take on the Seattle Seahawks. A little trepidation because they are coming in with a three-game losing streak. They're going to be hungry.
Yeah. I mean, again, now we're the wrong guys to talk about. So remember six-game losing streaks with Dan Quinn.
Brutal.
But generally, in the parity of the NFL, it's rare you see a team get on a four-game losing streak.
And that's the thing. So, listen, they need to get back on track. But we're playing some good football right now. And, you know, I'd like us to win this game. I don't even know what the spread is, Mike. I hadn't looked because after last week when you got me on, you know, the six with Carolina, I was all about it. But the fact of the matter is, this is not going to be an easy test. Like, yes, they're coming in a three-game losing streak. Geno, you know, has been playing up and down, but he's been pretty good for them so far. There are concerns heading into this game, and Raheem Morris stressed his concerns. And you just heard Jake Matthews. Jake's saying that they get off the field, right? They have the most three and outs, basically, than anybody else. So we got to be able to sustain drives. drives this weekend. And, you know, we've done that the last few games, but we got to keep it up.
Three, by the way, still the number hanging in there. Open at 3.5. It's at 3, which is basically what you get in the in Vegas for home field advantage. So they're basically saying it's almost a pick 'em.
Field goal game. So, and I do believe that, by the way.
Look, Gino, we've seen the good. I think you watched Gino. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've seen what's, you know, which got him benched, which got him to get to be a starter again. And now he's obviously got a good thing in a contract that, you know, that he got up in Seattle. But you can rattle him. I mean, I think we saw that about Dalton in the second half. I think you can do the same could be said about Gino. But he's also able to move. And, man, he can spin it. You've seen Gino make some really big, big throws the last couple of years.
No doubt. This hour, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes and Bell. All right. And coming up, by the way, we got some guy talk. We got a little bit behind schedule only because of practice being pushed a little bit and then Jake coming in a little bit later on than we expected. But also coming up next hour, we're going to head to Texas and talk to Blake Monroe, who is a host for Texas football, and kind of find out what the latest is there as the Dogs get ready. Great poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929. We're asking you how confident you are. A lot of guys hitting us up, and I retweeted it, Mike. It's really interesting. And I don't know if these are Dog fans, but they're like, I don't feel good about this one. Okay, so right now.
Now, don't be a Tech fan jumping out there to pirate the poll.
Well, I agree.
But I do think there is a lot of Georgia fans, and you just don't. I mean, you look at Tech, numbers up to 5, by the way. Texas is now a 5-point favorite.
It was 3.5.
Yep. And I just, like, we've given you all the storylines. You know, the angle, I'd like to see a more balanced attack, but you brought this up. And, you know, Texas has not seen an offense, a passing offense, like Carson Beck and Georgia. I mean, nobody's, again, Michigan, Oklahoma, nobody's been able to do what Georgia can do. And Georgia did do against Alabama and subsequently did it maybe in less convincing style because they didn't have more game control against Auburn and Miss State.
Yeah, no doubt. The game control thing is interesting because that's where Georgia is lacking. And I would just say this. Remember, how could we forget, the national championship years. There was never a game in doubt.
Nope.
Right? There just wasn't.
Other than the SEC championship, right?
Well, that was the battle.
Right.
And even the Ohio State game, Mike, which went back and forth, you were never in doubt that Georgia was going to answer, is my point. Like, that, there wasn't a question mark about, okay, are we able to come back and get this done? I feel like right now there is a little bit of that going on, saying, all right, game control. Did you feel that way against Miss State? I knew they'd beat Miss State, but I didn't think it'd be 31 points on the board for them.
The worst that Georgia looked in the elite defense of Kirby was that 41-24 beatdown in the SEC championship against Alabama. And then, of course, they come back after they just, you know, boat race Michigan. Then they get Alabama, of course, in Indianapolis. And Alabama fans of this day will say, hey, man, no Mechie and no Jameson Williams. That's a different whatever. You know, they weren't playing corner, you know, and Georgia was able to go down the field. But that was the only game where they really slipped. And, of course, the following year, it's just coast to coast.
Kirby did say this as we're talking about the Dogs. Some guy talk is on the way. Falcon Report at 5 o'clock, and you'll hear from our head coach, Raheem Morris, as well as to what he had to say about all that's going on with our football team. Kirby talked about the Texas defense and the challenges that they pose. They rank number one in the nation in total defense. That's 229 yards per game they're giving up, and number one in scoring defense. 6.3 points a game. Does that sound familiar? That's the Dogs a couple of years ago, guys. And so that is why I think Kirby is saying, listen, speed, size, they've got game wreckers.
Right.
They've got physical guys. So you add all of that up and you say, okay, is Georgia going to be able to score like they want to? Georgia will score. Are they going to be able to score and keep up with Texas if Texas gets going offensively? That's my question.
Right. How does Texas handle, I mean, you know, you talked about, like, Texas, the questions about them in the years past were about the defense, at least for me.
Sure.
And some folks around the country, just because the perception of the Big 12 was it was more top-heavy with offense. But now you've talked about the things they do and the kind of recruiting that Sarkisian has done. You know, the fact that, you know, yours is battle-tested. He was in the semifinal. You know, I mean, look, these guys have played in those big games. But and I know the Georgia fans say, well, like, different coach. It was Tom Herman. But they have beaten Georgia before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just –
they've had guys.
And they are at home. Now, if this game was in Athens, this would be a complete flip the script. And then can Texas handle the pressure of coming in? Because this year, Georgia's schedule is just tougher than Texas. We know that.
It is. I think – and, Mike, let's just address this real quick. Think about all the great games you've seen so far this year, whether it's Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State.
Right.
Okay.
LSU, Ole Miss the other night. There's been some great ones.
High-scoring contest. This idea, by the way, that Georgia or the Longhorns defense is going to be, you know, retain these numbers all year long, I don't believe that. They're going to get in a couple of games where they give up some points and, more importantly, more yards. But this is college football now. guys, there's more parity right now in college football, and that is why you're seeing what you're seeing. The days of the 9 to 7 day games, Mike, with LSU and Alabama are gone. No, nobody's going to – first of all, it's not interesting to fans. At the time, we thought it was. It's not. We love offensive football. We love to see games go back and forth and come down to the wire, and somebody's got to go make a play at the end, which is what you've seen in the most exciting games. That's not Big 12 football. That's college football.
Yeah, and that's what I used to joke around about with you all the time. But you're right. The SEC, the Big 12 doesn't have the market cornered on no defense. Even the guys that are, the teams that are putting all these guys in the NFL are still getting these giant shootouts, 42, 45, et cetera. Georgia is without all their stars. And Kirby talked about this on Monday. You know, the good news is we heard earlier today from Rusty Manziel that Mykel Williams apparently had a good day of practice. That's what Rusty was hearing yesterday. Rusty says everybody kind of knew that Smile Mundon wasn't going to play. But I guess, you know, with a lot of folks maybe expecting him or he was missing. Interpreted the Smile Mundon in a walking boot on Saturday. He is not playing against Texas. So
that's a big loss, though, man. Yeah. I mean, like, I thought he might be back by now, but
right.
Those are the stars and the guys that Kirby's talking about that are
Tate
on the sideline
and all that
that
right.
You need in this game. And they just haven't had a chance to be out.
Guys hit us up. This is from Jimmy hit us up on the text line. He goes, you guys are saying Georgia has to play a perfect game? Near perfect. I know Connor Riley.
Well, they haven't played their best game.
That's it. Connor Riley was saying on Dog Nation yesterday that, you know, they haven't played a complete game.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you know, i.e. a complete or perfect game, I think to go on the road in Austin against that offense, you got to be pretty darn good.
I agree.
I mean, no blank Sherlock, but I mean, I think you're going to have to get a couple of stops and change the momentum. Georgia, the good news is, as bad as they looked in those first, 25, 30 minutes against Bama, they came back and led the game. But then they couldn't get a stop.
Couldn't get a stop.
Against the guy that everybody knew was going to get the ball.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan Williams. All right, we got more to get to. Guy Talks on the way. Mike, what do we have coming up?
Hey, man, I've got some dog stories. Really funny dog stories you're going to enjoy. And then, I don't know if you're in a Thai restaurant and somebody says, would you like to try the super spicy dragon balls? Maybe that's something you lay off of. Some consumer news you can use coming up next. In Guy Talk. On 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow, by the way, we're hitting the bricks. We're going to be over at Gwinnett Medical Center. Details on a really cool charity event we're involved in. We'll tell you about that in Guy Talk as well. Where to play is play. Live from the Ticketmaster Studios, man. It is a Dukes and Bell. And hope you guys are having a great day. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be doing some good stuff. We've been involved with Paint Gwinnett Pink. Just search Paint Gwinnett Pink. And you can still get registered, Carl, as you and I are going to be hitting the bricks. We're going to be over at the Gwinnett Medical Center. And it's right off of Sugarloaf Parkway, by the way. It's easy to get to. It's 1755 North Brown Road. And we'll put the address up tomorrow on Twitter if you want to come by and say hi. If you're getting off work or you're one of the 2,000 or more people that are going to be doing the 5K, whether you're walking or running. All those runners are show-offs. Most of us will just walk it. But I'll be co-hosting once again. Seventh year, we're going to be down at Cool Ray Field. But we'll be in Gwinnett, guys, tomorrow right down the road from here down 985. Hopefully you can come by and see us, and we'll talk more about it on Sunday as well. All right, so speaking of getting up in the morning, so this morning I don't really get up. I roll out of the rack. What time do you get up, by the way? You get up early, right?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
I sleep until 8. So roll out of the rack, and there's Michael Strahan, who's on everything. You can't avoid – Michael Strahan is like he's like Forrest Gump.
He is.
It's like Zelig, that Woody Allen movie's everywhere. So I see him this morning. He goes, a heartwarming story about a dog. I'm like, okay, well, now you sucked me in. I got my coffee. I'm going to watch this. You may have already seen this one, but a guy who lives out in the woods.
Why you sound like that?
Michael, he's got the space in the teeth.
He does. We always talk about it at home. Is it? More coming up on Good Morning America.
We'll speak with Kamala Harris. No, but anyway, it's just the voice always gets me. But a story out in rural Washington State. This actually happened last month, but it made national news. A 13-year-old rescue dog named Gita is being hailed as a true hero. There's a deputy who's driving in Stevens County, as I said, in the middle of nowhere, Washington, and he sees this dog on the side of the road looking agitated, kind of like, hey, like, it's literally like Lassie. Hey, come on, get in the car. He thought, you know, she'd wandered off from a house down the street or something. Okay. And the dog's like, no. Dog's like rubbing the ground and this way. And then the deputy follows the dog up the driveway. Her owner, who's in his 70s, fell and broke his hip.
Oh, wow.
Poor guy's in the driveway. He can't move. And the dog basically takes the deputy up there and sensing that something was wrong, the deputy goes up with the doggy. And the deputy follows the dog, leads him to the summer cabin, and there's the elderly male lying on the ground.
Wow.
And looking for help. So the injured man, who's got several other medical conditions, he's an older guy, also needed his meds. So it really did. He's a lifesaver. The cop, the video is really heartwarming. That guy goes, man, that dog is something, man. And the guy goes, she's my best friend. And I saw that this morning. I was like,
that's great.
Yeah. I mean, it really was like, what's that, Lassie? You know? Dad has fallen in the driveway and he doesn't have his phone or meds. But, yeah, it really is a hell of a story.
Isn't it crazy, Mike, though, how they sense these things?
Right.
It's nuts.
Yeah, so I saw that this morning, and I literally was like, oh, put me in a good mood. And then today, I was just flipping around. I saw this in the New York Post. I showed Carl because the video is pretty amazing. Some guy is like doing that paragliding or whatever, like little motor thing with the fan. Jeez, whatever they call that thing. Anyway, he's doing this over in Egypt, and I guess I don't know if you have to have a permit or you just get out there and do it. But a guy is out there floating over one of the great pyramids of Giza, the Great Pyramid, and he's about 40. You know, he's floating over this thing about 400 feet up in the air, and he sees a dog on top of the pyramid.
No way!
I showed you the picture that I'm showing Chris. So here you have this pyramid, and get the ad for Zaxby's out of the way, and there's the dog. So this dude is floating around. And then eventually he lands, and the dog walks all the way down the pyramid, and he's got a picture with the dog. So I don't know if these are feral dogs who wander around and live off of tourist scraps or whatever.
Wow.
But I
asked you, I said, how is that possible?
Yeah, I don't get it either. But the guy's got the video of it, and he's basically over the pyramid, and he goes, look at this. And he's shooting the video of it, and it's like, well, that's pretty neat. So, dog climbed all the way up the Great Pyramid of Giza, and then eventually, as he lands his little gyro, whatever the hell he's in, dog comes down and says, hey, what's going on? And the people are calling him the Anubis pup. You know, for those who know your Egyptian gods and all that stuff, it's pretty neat.
Have you been?
I've not been. I've joked around with you about this off the air that, you know, God does not want me to see the promised land two times. One time Becky, don't listen if you're listening at home. When I was in Greek islands and I met this Israeli girl and we were on a ferry from Cyprus going to go see the promised land.
Becky, turn the radio off.
You turn it off and we're on the ferry boat into Haifa and then you hear like, oh, we have a terrorist incident that we're going to turn the boat around. Okay, so that time I don't get to go because the whole country was on lockdown. Mm. And then the second time we were going to be flying into Alexandria, same thing. There was a terrorist thing, and okay, we're not going this time. So
the times you've had an
opportunity. I would like to see the pyramids. I would like to see Jerusalem. And I got to tell you, the way things are looking now, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either. I'm with you, Mike. I feel the same way. Yeah. That's somewhere I've not been.
Always wanted to be there, man.
But maybe that's why Aaron Rodgers went when he did, huh?
Yes, you got to take that opportunity when you can. Before all of a sudden it's back on lockdown. I have been to Thailand, and that was a lot of fun. Did enjoy the food, didn't get sick or anything, but there's a doctor who's got a lawsuit now, claims a Thai restaurant employee, this is in California, mishandled ultra-spicy $11 Dragon Balls and left her with permanent injuries.
What are Dragon Balls?
That's what I said. Apparently, chemical burns on her throat.
Oh.
A jury will determine whether the mega spicy appetizer known as Dragon Balls at the Coupe de Thai in Los Gatos, California, caused a neurologist permanent bodily damages. Chicken-based dish scalded her vocal cords and esophagus with fiery flavors unfit for human consumption.
Fiery flavors?
Dragon Balls. Yeah. I don't know if they, you know, sometimes you get an extra bit of spice
on
something.
The heat.
You know, I'm not one of these masochists who wants the ghost pepper and all that.
I don't want to sweat while I'm
eating. But in the lawsuit, she claimed that it scalded her throat. And then she said she eventually pinning the blame on a worker who allegedly accidentally added too many peppers to the Dragon Balls back there, I guess, in the kitchen.
I have no desire to have the balls. Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
But anything that spicy, Mike, and I don't know if they would tell you that before you ordered it, but I have no desire. I like spice, too, but I'm not
basically
that much.
Spicy chicken meatballs made with green onions, cilantro, and chilies. A new employee who prepared the dish made an error and added additional peppers rather than reducing them as requested, she claims.
Cut the check.
So, So she's saying, I like the Dragon Balls, but not too spicy. Well, maybe, you know, you're taking a risk. There's a risk there.
There is.
There's an inherent spice coming your way. You're hoping that some nitwit making like $15 an hour is going to take out.
Is there anything that you absolutely have to have spice to? Like when you're eating something that you want spice to, or do you add like hot sauce or something? Like I've added hot sauce to my eggs and you know, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I love Thai food. I like spice. I like a little heat, but I just don't like that. There's that pain threshold, you know, where it gets to be like miserable.
Yeah, it's not fun eating it.
Right.
Yes.
You know, which brings us to potato chips, because they got all those spicy chips now and all. Well, helping fight inflation, the guys who make Lay's potato chips apparently are going to be offering bigger bags at the same price to temporary reverse to shrinkflation. In other words, we've seen a lot of portions getting smaller around the world. They said, and again, sorry, Coca-Cola, it's PepsiCo. They own Lay's.
Yeah.
Nation's largest seller of snacks, salty snacks, I should say, said that they will also add two more small bags to those 18-pack variety packs we always have in our lunchbox or lunch bag of your kids.
I like the different flavored chips. Some of them freak me out, though. I know they've got different, you know, I used to send pictures because I'd just be on the search for different types of mixtures of chips. But I do have my limitations there, too.
Kroger, and I know Publix is doing it, too. They got their own. I just had Texas toast-flavored potato chips.
See, haven't had that.
It's really good.
I haven't had that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the calories are up there a little bit. Yeah, Who cares? Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest. Becky, what is that? I don't want that. Next thing you know, ate the whole bag watching the Penguin the other night. By the way, are you up to the last episode of the Penguin?
Yes, watched it last night, as a matter
of
fact.
Man, is that good. I still can't believe that's Colin Farrell.
It's much better than I expected, Mike. I told you, episode one got me hooked. You told me about it. We watched, I think, the next two episodes.
Right.
The woman that plays...
the mob boss daughter.
She is incredible.
Right.
Like, seriously. That role she plays, and then they give us the background and the history. I don't want to blow anything for anybody, but it's another good show to watch.
I must say, probably five times during that show, I can't believe that's Colin Farrell. Anyway, there's your guide talk. And don't forget, guys, busy week for us. We're going to be over at Twin Peaks on Friday. Huge event. Buffalo Wild Wings for a doubleheader of Monday Night Football. Carl and I will be there. Coach's show and everything will be hanging out with you. That's the perimeter location of Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll come back to Carl. We got some Falcons talk.
Yes, we do. And we're going to hear a couple of things from Coach Raheem Morris, because he spoke today, before he spoke to us, and said, hey, there's a few things we're doing, including Drake studying the Rams wide receivers because they're going to try to incorporate that a little bit more into the offense. And who's helping us get ready for Geno and this offense? Take a guess. It's Dukes and Bell.